This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. First up, the Prime Minister's office took down a Twitter poll after the feedback that came in was just a little bit or perhaps a lot too honest. And this opened up the question of how government agencies can use social media to effectively get feedback from the rakyat.
You say just a little bit too honest. I think I'd say 93% too honest. So the poll was published yesterday afternoon and it asked Twitter users for their view on the Jihad Task Force to address inflation and assist in facing cost of living. So basically, people on Twitter were asked if they agreed that the task force was capable of coordinating these efforts to resolve issues related to inflation. The poll received 1,600 responses with 93% saying they disagreed with the statement. Only 2.7% of respondents agreed, after which the poll was taken down. So we don't actually know whether, you know, that would have swung the other way. But even the comment feed was really pointed and very sharp in terms of various aspects, from the fact that they were running a poll on this in itself, to what they call the poll, to various other grouses against government effectivity, committees. Yeah, it runs the gamut.
So I think that this is part and parcel of being an agency or a company of any kind and maintaining an active social media presence, is that people will, of course, use it to provide feedback or use it as an additional avenue for customer service. And so it is to be expected that half the time, and this happens with any company, they'll put something up followed by, "Hi, I've sent you a feedback email," or, "Hi, we haven't resolved the problem with my bills. Hi." And that's to be expected. But like you said, I think that there is an important question here about why, in the first place, something as important as a task force to address inflation would need a poll. Because if you're going to do it, you're going to do it, right? Because inflation is such a huge buzzword. It's something that everybody is concerned about. And so if the committee were to be created, then it would be anyway, and the Twitter poll has no bearing on whether or not it is or isn't going to happen. Which also then opens up the question, for me at least, about, is there a KPI in terms of posting things? You know, is it just a lack of content? And then it's like, well, we have this committee, let's put it up.
Look, I mean, we certainly have experimented, right, when it comes to how we use social media. And it's a sort of fluid process. I think it is for most companies. We try and see whether something works, whether we get engagement. But I'm not sure whether I want to see government agencies going down that path, you know, particularly when it comes to like a task force on inflation. I kind of want certainty and not so much, well, tell us if you think this will work, because what's the end goal there really?
But I do think that there are avenues to explore for the government in terms of using social media for feedback, because you're not going to get everybody, right? Because it is a certain demographic that's perhaps more likely to engage with these polls in the first place. Not everybody who's going to be impacted by whatever the policy may be might be on Twitter. There are lots of reasons why it's not going to get you maybe the hugest scope. But at the same time, you can reach people in their homes, which is what television and radio used to be for, right? The benefit of those public service announcements. But now people can talk back. And I think that there is actual value in that. I'm not exactly sure how to harness it well, or how to harness it in a way that's going to be productive and not necessarily just people lambasting or trolling or, you know, I think that there are lots of questions. But nonetheless, there's something to be said about how it could be done. So just briefly, in case you hadn't heard about the Jihad Task Force to address inflation and assist in facing cost of living, very catchy name. The new task force was actually established yesterday. It was announced by the Prime Minister, and the members include Tan Sri Anwar Musa, as you would expect, Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul, Dr. Ronald Candy, Datuk Sri Alexander Nathalingi, Datuk Sri Mustafa Muhammad. So a fair amount of ministers, a fair amount of special officers in each ministry also expected to be included. A lot to unpack, although I think since the the opinion on the committee is already so widely known, we're going to be focusing today instead on that question of the use of social media. So let us know, do you give feedback to the government via social media? Have you done it? Do you think it's a useful tool? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by Shazwan Mustafa Kamal, Associate Director at Vriends & Partners. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry-free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about a Prime Minister Office poll that went up on Twitter and then got taken down because the feedback was just coming in a little too fast and furious, really. Furious being the key word there, negative being another word that we could use. So this has us questioning essentially how government agencies can use social media to get feedback from us all. And we've been asking you, do you give feedback to the government via social media? Do you think it's a useful tool in this area? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Shazwan Mustafa Kamal, Associate Director at Vriends and Partners. Shazwan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me.
So, to start us off, I guess, what did you make of the PMO's approach of putting up a poll to gauge response towards their new task force?
I think that generally government agencies have been more proactive over the past, I would say, 3 to 4 years in sort of gauging responses through social media. I think they realized that I think Facebook, I think for government agencies, it's a lot of Facebook and Twitter as of late, that the value it has in sort of garnering sort of organic responses. However, that being said, the PMO's approach of putting up a poll was, I believe, a bit haphazard, because I think they sort of like announced the committee first and then either our plans to announce the committee first and then they subsequently had a poll. So it's more like you already did it already. Now you're asking for someone's opinion. So it's kind of, whether the poll was purposeful or just for show, that's the question, I think. Yeah.
So what were some of the reactions that you've personally heard about this committee? Why do you think it's being received the way it has?
I think there have been quite a number of responses for the committee. I think generally there are some people who have voiced, I think, in agreement that the government be a bit more proactive in addressing the issue of rising costs, just because you can't just... stopgap measures are not enough, right? So at the end of the day, you need to look at systemic sort of reforms and basically how do you prepare the country for the long haul, right? We are heading towards an inflation already. However, at the same time, I think the way it was announced kind of feels like, right, announce the committee, bunch of senior ministers who are in charge of the very same portfolios that are having issues at the same place, and give a nice little name, Jihad, and make it seem like they're doing something. I think it's for all intents and purposes, if you had a KPI, then it looks like the government is doing something. But I want to give the government probably just some room to sort of prove themselves. Perhaps the committee is going to be, influential in addressing the rise of, the issues at hand. That will depend on how they utilize the committee, the sort of like scope of work. But I think it's kind of hit off on a controversial start, just because I think one more issue is that it's very predominantly, male, mid-50s sort of demographic. So I don't think it sits well with a lot of people, just because, I mean, you don't have to involve every senior minister in this, because senior ministers have other things to do, right? I think at this point, this style of committee should be working level, led by a minister perhaps, right? And I think inclusion of more subject matters experts. But I think the government has sort of tried to balance that narrative over the past few days by stating that, oh no, the committee makeup isn't final, we're going to have more people in. I think it remains to be seen, but I guess everyone is waiting to see what the government does next.
So if we go back to the poll specifically, right, it was taken down after receiving an overwhelmingly negative response. I think we can say overwhelming when it passes the 90% mark of not agreeing with something. What did you make of the decision to actually remove the poll and what it signals?
I don't know whether the decision to remove the poll came from probably one of the higher ups or someone at the working level, but obviously you have an announcement, at the same time you have a poll. Ideally, they want the poll to sort of like indicate some, at least some varying degree of enthusiasm or agreement with the idea, right? But I guess they didn't account for the fact that people had more questions than that. So I think it was a bit, I mean, I'll maintain that it was done in haste, and I think the poll should have come as part of that sort of like engagement process, right? Like, you know, the government is thinking of ways A, B, C, and D to tackle rise of living costs, among key of which is the formation of a special committee, blah, blah, blah. You know, what do you think? The results should have come out before the committee came out, and then the government could have used the results to sort of like extrapolate more data and probably fine-tune their sort of committee or, you know, their measure, really. So it kind of seems like it was done as just window dressing at this point, but it backfired.
We have this message from Lee Jun, who says, all these government polls requesting public feedback are pointless when the government takes down negative polls or results that make them look bad, with no effort to act or improve themselves. So if you could respond to that, in this case, then what do you think the appropriate response should have been?
I think the appropriate response should have been that, I mean, in a situation where the government's going ahead with the poll, right? It was going ahead with the committee. They could have used the opportunity to address the, perhaps I wouldn't have couched it as negative comments, but valid criticisms or concerns from the polls, and use the formation of the committee, or perhaps even use a segment of the announcement to sort of like address very like top line questions, FAQs, right? Concerns, and then and at least that would have in part allayed some concerns, or would have presented them as being a bit more credible. They got off on the wrong start, I think. But I think there's still opportunity for them to sort of redeem themselves down the road.
Which brings me to my next question, which is, what is the value, the larger value, even if we take a step back from this exact situation, for government agencies to utilise social media as a platform to engage with people and actually receive feedback?
I think if done correctly, it can be quite a crucial tool. And I think you've seen some other agencies and ministries like MOH in recent history, to good effect, right? There were polls done about effectiveness of, I think in the past, of lockdowns, vaccine hesitancy, right? And the sort of data extrapolated from these polls were quite useful in sort of helping policymakers devise our particular strategy, really. But I think polls are quite important to sort of gauge initial feedback. I think the people, the policymakers, right? I mean, obviously they're supposed to have the pulse of the people, but sometimes when you're in that sort of cocoon or in that mode, you may not be able to, like, there may be something that you are missing in terms of feedback, grounded feedback, I think, and this will be like that sort of like public opinion, that sort of at least getting a sense of the pulse of the nation will be important as you formulate that policy. It shouldn't be something, I mean, what shouldn't have been done is that you shouldn't have announced something without using that poll to buttress your argument. The poll should have been a crucial tool as part and process of that policy, so to speak.
You referenced vaccine policies just now, and certainly in the last 2 years, the Ministry of Health has been quite proactive and responsive on social media. Have we seen any other ministries take this approach?
I think Ministry of Health is a good example of a key ministry that really knows what the issues are, knows where your blockers, where your champions are in terms of social media, right? They've got that Facebook crowd, you've got your Twitter crowd. And if you look at the minister's team, they've got people, he's got literally people addressed to handle all of that. And I think it's really how you utilize your resources. I think they've done a really good job so far in the best of, I mean, it's a misses, but generally quite good. I mean, they're very proactive, especially when responding to your emergent risks. People ask, I think there was this whole episode about, it was, I mean, 2020, 2021 seems like a distant past now, but there were initial concerns about vaccines, right? And I think AstraZeneca, and I think shortly after KJ took over, the team really went all out to sort of dispel. They really used social media to the fullest. Whether or not other ministries have done this or other agencies remains to be seen. I've seen KCOM do some polls, either this ministry or the previous one, to some extent. But I don't think it's a deep dive into into an issue of like getting people's feedback as part of that policy formulation process. I don't think we're quite there yet. I mean, at least not for the other ministries.
So what other mechanisms do we currently have for people to give feedback on policy making? And do you think that there is enough awareness that these mechanisms are there anyway?
I think there is growing awareness. So social media is obviously a very good, very double-edged sword, but a very potentially useful tool. Besides Twitter and Facebook, I think TikTok is on the rise for people really giving feedback to government on a host of issues. And it's unique in the sense that because it's specifically video, right? So it's like it's more in your face. I think you're more likely to have to respond to it. And it's quite informative, some of the videos they've devised that, wrapping things up in a minute. And politicians have also started using it to sort of try to explain issues, say, Sadiq does it. I saw recently Shamuddin Hussein jumping on the bandwagon. So that will probably be the next battlefront as election heats up. But I think as other mechanisms, there's actually your local ADUNs, your MPs, right? Your I think local councils as well. I mean, for your various concerns. So there are avenues in which you can sort of give feedback to policymakers. But it's more often than not quite subjective. There's no guidebook as to like, okay, you want to get your point across, your complaint, what do you do? But people have been creative, right? Besides that, they've also spammed Facebook posts of ministers. Some of them have gotten phone numbers of the ministers, because some of these said ministers, when they were not ministers, very freely gave out the numbers to sort of contact in case got anything wrong, right? So, but primarily, I think social media is the tool. You can always email in or call, although that would, I would recommend against doing that unless you have a lot of time in your hand to sort of be consistent in bugging them for answers.
I think one thing that's become quite a strong thread in this conversation is that it can actually be a useful tool, particularly for public opinion and feedback. What factors would need to be taken into consideration for government agencies to effectively use social media for that?
So I think the issue on government agencies is whether they are aligned or equipped to sort of handle responses or queries in that platform itself. I think it took them quite a while to get used to Facebook, and now they're getting used to it. But as we see, the demographic for Facebook is quite limited to a certain age group. Younger voters are using other media platforms, so it's a bit of a challenge. I think probably like the skill sets vary in different agencies, but more often than not, what incentivizes governments, or especially this government, to respond to is crisis. If you can peg an issue to something that's part of a larger issue context of crisis, then you will see immediately government agencies, ministers jumping to sort of like address the issue. And more often than not, it's like by a walkabout. I think recently the Prime Minister went to survey the price of chickens in an effort to weed out errant chicken traders. And I saw the picture, video of a minister, I think the entrepreneur minister Norma also with him. They were holding a chicken and they were like calling one guy and to explain something, and it's a lot of optics, but there is, I think, more impetus for government to act, a call for action. Governments can no longer like just stay quiet or not address issues just because there are so many mediums in which you can influence, if not public policy, at least narratives. So, and the government is very aware of that, or at least the political actors are. So that's what we have working for us at this point in time.
We have a minute and a bit left with you. So social media, as we've established, can be effective, done correctly. Are you hoping to see it used more often? And how do you think it's going to change, especially as we're moving increasingly from Twitter to something like TikTok?
I think I'm definitely hoping to see it being utilized more purposefully. And I think that is there are encouraging signs, especially from, I think, your younger generation of Malaysians, but even the older generation, I think they're dabbling on TikTok. And I think that people understand that the dissemination of information between government and the people is no longer a two-way process. It's very, very subjective, right? There's like there's various ways to extrapolate information. I think people will find ways to sort of get that, get those answers they need. I'm very happy, and I think a bit more optimistic for the future, just because it forces federal governments, state governments, elected representatives to always be on their toes and always stay vigilant, right? So, and I think everyone is worried that if I don't do well, I'm just going to get replaced, because there are so many instances in Malaysia's history over the past by elections, elections that can happen.
Shazwan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Shazwan Mustafa Kamal, Associate Director at Vriens & Partners, weighing in essentially on how government agencies can use social media effectively to get feedback from the rakyat. This comes as the Prime Minister's Office put out a poll on a committee that they had already announced, received negative feedback, and then rapidly took that poll down. And so, just opened up this question. And we've been asking you, do you give feedback to the government via social media? How would you like to see them do it well, I guess, is the question. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.